several states from this state that we live in, is another state, and in that state, a small country town, is a cemetery that's known as the Western Road Cemetery. There's something unusual about the Western Road Cemetery in a small town, several states from where we are. In the middle of the cemetery, there is a statue. And it's a large statue, not of a man, not of a woman, not even of an angel, not even Jesus. Some of the cemeteries have large statues of Jesus. And not even a statue of Mary or anybody else. But in the Western Road Cemetery, there's a large statue in the middle of the cemetery of a dog. And if you find out why the dog, the statue that they spent thousands of dollars on, sits in that Western Road Cemetery, there's a story behind it. There was an older gentleman who had lost his wife by death, and she was buried in the Western Road Cemetery. They had a faithful lad that lived inside of their home that was their greatest companion. Lo and behold, the man could not live without the companionship of his wife, and he died as well. That lad that they loved so much followed the funeral procession down to the Western Road Cemetery on the day of his burial. The dog stayed there in that cemetery, lying at the foot of that grave. Many family members came, got the lab, carried it miles away, but somehow, seemingly, the lab dog would find his way back to the Western Road Cemetery. And finally, the dog himself died at the foot of the two people he loved the most. And so in his honor, as a demonstration of his loyalty and his love, standing in that cemetery is a large statue of that lamb. What an extraordinary demonstration of loyalty. What a touching, heartfelt, heart-stirring story of love. And no wonder we think today of the quality of a dog as being our most loyal friend. But if animals are that loyal, then why not us as people? Why not us? We've become too sophisticated and we've become too smart to think we need to be loyal to anybody, that we've got life and so we live our lives in a sense one-on-one. Well, if something as simple as a dog should be loyal, you and I ought to be loyal to the one that we love, ourselves.
Amen.
Where is our loyalty? That's a big question today. Where's our loyalty? We claim to be loyal, and most of us are very, very loyal to the things we want to be loyal to. It's what you want to do, and where you want to go, that's where you'll find yourself. We sure are loyal to our ball teams. Rain or shine, we'll find ourselves sitting in the stands. Rain or shine, we'll find ourselves in the stadiums and we'll complain because the sun is hot, or we'll complain because it's too cold, or we'll complain because it's raining, but we'll sit right there and scream like a bunch of Indians as they run up and down that field, or as they hit that little round ball, and we'll stand there because we're loyal to our team. I've had people tell me, well, I'm a Georgia fan, I don't care if they win or lose, I'm going to stay with them. I'm a Carolina fan, I don't care if they win or lose, I'm going to stay with them. I'm a Clemson fan, I don't care if they win or lose, I'm going to be a diehard Clemson fan. stay with them. Why? Because we're loyal to our team. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, church, I don't care who you pull for. They haven't done anything like our Lord's done for us. And where's our loyalty when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Where does he fit in the love of our life? Where does he fit in? You know, it's amazing to me. The loyalty from the ball field on Saturday changes to the church house on Sunday. Same crowd, and I've been in that crowd, who will sit in the stadiums in the pouring down rain or the burning heat when a drop of rain falls on Sunday morning. They can't get out and come to church. They'll roll over in that bed and say, it's too wet. It's too foggy out there. We need a day off anyway. Thank God that Jesus Christ never takes a day off. There's our loyalty. God help us when it comes to Sunday school. That's getting up to her. We'll get up early and we'll run to the stadiums and the ball fields and tailgate all day and sit out there in the hot sun. We'll get up early and be at the mall during Christmas shopping so we can get that bargain. We'll get up early when the gas is so high and drive 15 miles because we're going to save 5 cents a gallon. Now, by the way, that's not real good thinking. You know what? Where's our loyalty to the things that matter the most? The Lord. We claim to be loyal followers of Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus woman. Well, where is our loyalty when it comes to standing up for the one whom we say we love? People say this, well, I come to church. I come to church. I'm loyal to Christ. I come to church. I do come on Sunday mornings. And I do come every once in a while. I come to church. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, your loyalty to Jesus Christ doesn't depend between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Your loyalty to Jesus ought to be seen every day of the week. Or to be able to look at you and tell that Jesus is the artist. I read a story in the Bible, and I find the loss of loyalty today among several folks. Jesus was nearing the end of his life. Death was coming. Now stop and realize that God sent Jesus here with a purpose to die. For us. And it was near that time. And he knew that there was going to come some events that would take place that would cause his disciples to fall away or be offended or run high, so to speak. For let me make this clear when it compares to Jesus. When something happens to the shepherd, the sheep will always scatter.
Amen.
And he knew that day was coming. But even with that tone of sorrow, Jesus ended this saying. And I like what Jesus said. You know, there was a kind of damp, foggy feeling over the folks. And Jesus ended it by saying this. Hang on. Listen, it's good. I am coming back.
Amen.
I might have to go away for a little while, but I want you to understand something. I am coming back. I want to declare this morning, to the very fact today, whether you're loyal to Jesus or not, I want you to understand something. He is coming back.
Amen.
He's been gone away far too long. He's been away far long. Don't you think it's time for Jesus to come back?
Amen.
And he told him, he said, I've got to go die, but I'll be back. I'm coming back. They can kill me. I'll see you in Galilee, and I'll go before. soon as he finished talking, we discover a loss of loyalty. Here's what happened. We hear a loyalty that is professed, but a loyalty that's not practiced. Everybody can say they love Jesus, but it's got to show if you love Jesus. Practice what you proclaim when it comes to loyalty. What causes us to lose our loyalty? I used to be so loyal to the church, and I used to be so loyal to Christ. I used to do this, Preacher Ron. I used to do this. I used to do this. I used to do this. It amazes me that in our church life, in the 200-some-odd years that I've been your pastor, I've run across numerous folks who said, "Hey, I used to go to the city group." Over and over, "I used to go to the city group." God, if we'd have built a fence and kept everybody that used to go to City Grove in this building, we'd be having 3 or 4 services.
That's right.
What happens? What causes us to lose our loyalty? For I want you to understand something. You can blame it on whoever you want to blame it on. I know whoever you want to blame it on. But I'll tell you where it boils down to is your loyalty to Christ.
Amen.
If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, it ain't gonna matter about all the little minute details. You're gonna be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love His church, you're gonna be loyal to His church. Not because of me, not because of Tim, not because of anybody else, but because the only one that deserves our loyalty is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we lose it? Help me look in Mark chapter 14 for just a moment. And I'm going to show you a couple of little simple truths and then we will go on. One way you can lose your loyalty is when you struggle with the subject that we call pride. As Peter sat that day and he listened to Jesus, he looked at everybody else sitting around in the crowd. Now, some of you come into the sanctuary, you don't ever hear what Jesus has to say because you're sticking your nose in everybody else's business around the building. I want you to understand something. When you come in here, it doesn't matter what color tie I got on. When you come in here, you ought to feel the presence and the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It don't matter if you look across and see your worst enemy sitting in the building. Listen, you didn't come because of your worst enemy. You came because Jesus loves you.
Amen.
We gauge it. And Peter did the same thing. He sat there that day. He looked at the crowd and heard what Jesus had to say. He began to compare himself to them. And the old pride began to swell up in his heart. One of the most subtle temptations in our lives is the temptation of pride. Thinking more of yourself than you really deserve.
Right.
And Peter began to look at the crowd and he thought, "Yeah. Oh, I'm a different person." It's easy to fall in the trap of the devil's arson and become filled with pride. Jesus don't have to worry about things. He's got me. Cedar Grove don't have to worry about a thing as long as I'm in it. We're in good shape as long as I don't get mad and run off somewhere. But if I leave, the church will close its doors. That's the old thing that we call pride. It reminds you if you are anything or you ever will be anything, it'll be all because of Jesus. And you may be shocked. You may be shocked. You may be deflated very quickly. Because the only one that deserves any praise, honor, and glory is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People get worried because their name's not in lights. Who cares if your name's in lights? People get worried because their name's not in a bulletin. Who cares if your name's not in the bulletin? I pastored churches where people were scared to sing, and they wouldn't sing because they had mistakenly forgot to put their name in the bulletin and they were going to sing it. And you know what I said and thought? You don't need to be singing anyway. If you want everybody to know your name's in the bulletin, you are not standing up and singing anyway. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned way of doing things anyway is just letting God be in charge and not as I said. If we were to throw the bulletins away, half of you would go into cardiac arrest. And the other half would be so mad it'd be unreal. But you know, we ought to try for about a month. It's just let the Spirit of God tell us what we want to do when He wants it done and not because it's printed in a program. The old subject of pride. And the devil whispers in your ear and says, you are somebody. Don't let nobody tell you any different. You're the rock of Gibraltar. You're what it takes. They've got to have you. Well, look at those other people. They're nothing in comparison. I'm glad Jesus doesn't look at us through eyes of pride.
Amen.
Aren't you? Pride will cause us to forget our loyalty. You know why? We'll begin to think more of ourselves than we do God. Now, when you can hang the sun in the sky, and you can take care of the stars that twinkle, and you can put a rainbow that's beautiful in the sky, and you can make a flower grow and smell at the same time, then we'll say you're God. But I've got news for you. You'll never be able to do that, so you'll never be God.
Amen.
You can quote me the Bible from the start to the finish. And I get tickled at people who want to quote the Bible all the time that never set foot in church. Somewhere they're missing something in that Bible. What about the verse that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together like a man and son has? Memorize your Bible and never live your Bible, and you had accomplished one thing. Pride. I find it here. It was recited. Look what it said, verse 49. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Peter looked around that crowd and he thought, you know, I'm stronger than they are. I'm a little bit higher on the totem pole than they are. Jesus won't ever have to worry about being by himself. When all the other jaybirds are gone, guess what? Old Peter, boy, will be still standing with you, Jesus. He recited. The Lord didn't ask for it. He just told the Lord. How many times have you promised preachers and teachers and church workers? I'll tell you one thing. When everybody else turns my back on you, don't you worry. I've got your back. Be careful of those who tell you they've got your back. The first ones that run are those who tell you they've got your back.
Amen.
When things get tough, the first one that talks about you are those who came to you and said, don't you ever worry. I'm loyal to you. I'll hang with you. Those same folks are the one who put the noose around your neck and hang you from the highest tree.
Amen.
And Peter meant what he said. He loved his Lord. I don't doubt Peter. He loved his Lord. But pride had overtaken him, and he did not see his own weakness. I hope you understand. I don't care who you are. We're still weak when it comes to the things of God. I'm weak. Don't ever overlook your weaknesses. Because if the devil knows your weaknesses, and he does, and you don't recognize your weaknesses, he will tear you apart. It was recited. Look at verse 30. His pride was renounced. And Jesus said to him, verily I say to thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me. You know what Jesus said? I've heard that before. Jesus said, you know what? If I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that, I'd be amazingly more rich than I'm already rich to start with, because everything belongs to me. Those people at synagogues told me that. The Lord says, hey, they told me that. Yeah, we've gone through fire. We've gone through everything else together. And some of the crowd who said, all right, Lord, you bless us, we won't turn our backs on you, are nowhere to be found. Sitting somewhere in their homes today, right back in the recliner, and the furthest thing from their mind is the things of God. Jesus said, I've heard all that. And Peter, before you know it, before morning, you're going to be denied me twice. Before the rooster crows at sunrise, you're going to deny me. You will be ashamed. Listen, right now, sitting in Cedar Grove, sitting in this sanctuary, God knows everybody that's sitting in here, He knows exactly what's in your heart.
Amen.
And He really knows if you love Him or not, or if you're just going through the motions.
Amen.
And He knows if there's pride. Have you forgot this verse right here that says this? Pride goeth before the fall.
That's right.
Be careful when you jump up and say, oh, Lord, I'm going to be loyal to you. The Lord knows if you're only saying it to win points in the life of church. He knows what my heart really is all about. You don't do have to do a heart check to tell me what's in my heart. If you get on good standings with the Lord could tell you what's in my heart.
Amen.
The pride was recited. It was renounced. But look at verse 31. It was also reaffirmed. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, Peter got upset. Old human nature come out, and he said, I'm going to tell you, I will not deny me. Anyone, nobody's going to talk me into turning my back on you. And then you know what happened? The rest of the cats sitting around jumped in on the bandwagon. Oh, no, Lord, none of us will. We not. None of us. You got us. We're here. We're here right now. Not me, Lord. Do you know who you're looking at? It's Peter. Peter. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Peter. Lord, have you had a lapse of your mind? I haven't missed a day in Sunday school in years. You know what? I've done all. I've participated in all those mission projects down there in the temple. And Lord, you know what? I didn't sit over there with a gossip crowd. No. Lord, you know who I am? I'm Peter. Matter of fact, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll give up my life for you if I have to. I'll go right into Jerusalem right now and lay down my life for you. And so you won't have to go, Lord, I love you that much. I'm that loyal to you. And all the other disciples said, me too, me too, me too, me too. Be careful when you raise your hand and say, me too, for the Lord knows what's at the bottom of the hand.
Amen.
Pride is always contagious. They left, went out into the garden, called this city. They had gathered there to pray. And Jesus started praying. And he prayed. And Peter and the rest of those who had just screamed, don't you worry about us, we got you back, fell asleep. And Christ's heart was absolutely broken. That crowd had just said. They would not turn their backs on him. All that crowd just said, we'll fight for you and die for you. How are you going to fight for anybody if you're laying there asleep? And Jesus came to Peter in verse 37. And he found him sleeping and said unto him, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could you not watch for 1 hour? If I remember correctly, Peter, you're the one who hollered, not I, not I, not I. And you can't even stay awake while I pray. You know what happened in Peter's life? Peter got so comfortable about who he was that pride had caused him not to even worry about praying anymore. When you become prideful, you think you don't need to pray. You're headed toward the fall. 3 times, our Christ tries to get them up to pray. And then in verse 41, Christ then got aggravated. He said, he cometh the third time and said, then, just why don't you just sleep on? And take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come for me to die. And Jesus was then arrested and carried away. And when Jesus needed his followers, they were not there. You know what? You know something? When Jesus was before the high priest, instead of being with his Lord, look at what it says. Verse 54 says that Peter followed him afar off. Now this is the same cat who said, hey, I got your back. You ain't got nobody's back if you're sitting far away.
Right.
Even in the palace. And he said to the servants, warned him, said, five. He was sitting there, warned him, said, five. As they were given Jesus one of the worst times he's ever had in his life. Pride will still say you follow Jesus, but pride will cause you to follow him afar off. Pride. There's a second thing that will destroy your world. It's pride. But the second thing is this, and I want you to hear what it gets to say. It's pressure. Peter was not in the room where Jesus was on trial. Matter of fact, Peter was out there with the enemy. He was not only with them, but he was sitting with them. Servants of the high priest, they had built a fire, and he was just sitting there warming himself by the fire. He had blended in with the other crowd. Peter had. Some of you used to be so fire on fire for God. I tell you one thing. All you lived to do was serve Christ and work for Christ. And now you find yourself not on fire for God, but sitting around the fire that's warming yourself. Peter was sitting there that day. And the pressure of the people got to be. You know something? Do we face pressure? We think we have to do a lot of things to fit in. We think that we've got to go to the certain kind of places to be popular. I'll never forget when I first went into the pastorate, I had a man tell me that if I did not wear a long sleeve shirt with a necktie all the time, that I wouldn't worry for anybody to come listen to. And I found myself dressing a certain way to try to fit that crowd until I discovered it doesn't matter if you've got a long sleeve shirt on with a tie or if you've got a short sleeve shirt on that has no tie. If you're where God wants you to be doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't matter what you've got on. But you'll find yourself trying to fit the mold. And we say our teenagers are under so much pressure. They are. But us adults are under peer pressure as well. Some of you won't say amen because you want to be tagged as being a crazy fanatic for Jesus.